Welcome to your Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. So good to be with you. It's good to be back, finally, doing another show after, I think, 3 weeks of vacation. I did the vacation special last week and now back with regular shows, so good to be back. You may have told by the tone in my voice that I am a little bit nervous. I'm actually star-strutted, actually. I mean, I'm not gonna lie here, I'm a bit star-strutted. I'm joined by a very, very talented man. Well, I think he's a man. I can get confirmation from him. He's host of Fast Forward from Cairns FM 89.1. Thomas Humphreys, everyone.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm very well. I don't know about the audience. Well, the audience is a little bit...
There it is.
They're on delay. Sure. I don't know why.
Warm reception.
Yes. Thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome.
We do have a bit of an audio lag, unfortunately. So we'll try and push through. Why don't you tell the fine listeners a little bit about yourself? We can do it up the top of the hour here.
Right, me. I'm 21, and I make electronic music as Neon Zenith. That's one of my main things that I like to do. I like to make electronic music. Bit of chiptunes, bit of dance music, bit of everything, just stuff that I listen to, and I turn that into other stuff that I hope other people will listen to. I also run a radio show on Friday night, 9 p.m. until usually about 11, but sometimes it goes a bit longer than that, called Fast Forward, a show about modern and electronic music on Cairns FM 89.1. And I play my stuff that I listen to, basically, some of my favorite music, and that's basically all the stuff that I like to spend my time doing for the most part at the moment.
I have a question, and it just occurred to me now, while you were talking about yourself, which you could probably get you to do for 2 hours, because that saves me talking on a show for once. Producing a music show, is that that would be totally a different ball game than a talk show?
Yeah, so basically what I do is I find about maybe an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes worth of music, and then I put it together. Like, I try and make it flow really well, and like as a playlist, and then I just sort of try and tell the audience interesting things about the songs in between every two songs or so. Like, I'll come in, so I'll group them together. So like, if there's two songs that flow really well together, then I might put those together and have this cool transition between the songs. And then after that, then I go, oh, and that last track was such and such, the track before that was this. And did you know that the artist that made that was really cool and did these other cool things and some things. And that last track we listened to was free, and the next one is going to be a really interesting new one that I found. And, you know, I try and, but it's mostly just about the music rather than talking about whatever.
Yeah, just about playing music that you enjoy rather than just talking about the music itself. You're actually playing the music. Well, the first track we listened to was Jackson F. Smith, Cantina Rag. That's our theme song. I like that theme song.
It's pretty cool. That's the one from Star Wars, right?
It's a cover of the one from Star Wars. So
it's a cover of the one from Star Wars. It's very like Hawaiian, sort of like the Hawaiian guitar, Hawaiian sounding guitar, if that makes sense.
Like a ukulele kind of?
It sounds like like you'd hear it at a beach bar or something.
Yeah, it's really cool. Someone put me onto it back when I was starting up the show, going on nearly over 2 years now. They were like, here's a good kind of thing to get you in the mood for the show. It's like, I listened to it and I went, I just want to go to the beach.
Yeah.
Just go to the beach. Anyway, we'll keep on trucking. Tell him this is going to be here for the whole 2 hours. Grateful that he said yes to the whole 2 hours. Strap on in.
Heck yeah.
Heck yes. We'll be remiss from saying, though, time to address the elephant in the room. We want to acknowledge the fact that it is September 11th and it has been 15 years since the 9/11 attacks. 15 years. And I didn't put anything in the show notes because it was a tragic event, but for Australia, yes, it did impact us on trade, but nothing really that much outside of that at the time in 2001. So that's the main reason why I didn't really put anything in the show proper, apart from just kind of, you know, saying, you know, commiserations for the 15th year. We wouldn't call it an anniversary, would you? I feel bad calling it an anniversary.
I mean, it is. I get technically there's probably other words for it, but. You know, it is what it is. It's been 15 years since it happened, so it's like, it's, yeah.
By definition, it is an anniversary, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. The main reason, sorry, go on.
Oh, I was going to say, well, you could probably Google it or something if you wanted to.
Yeah, well, I'm producing a podcast here. I'm just kidding. I'm not making you work. That is not what's happening. But in the news, though, there was a topic that came up in my news feeds, and we're going to cover this in pretty much great detail because I think there's a lot to kind of unpack here on the 15th year commemoration. I'm going to call it that until a proper word has been kind of come up for of.
That sounds good.
The 9/11 attacks. Thank you. It's the talk show. The fact that terrorist attacks in the last week, there have been suggestions of rogue attacks on Australian landmarks. So kind of get into the story before we have... And we've got a bit... Actually, you know what? We're going to hear a bit of sound here from the Prime Minister delivering a kind of press conference, and we'll be back after his few words.
Last night on returning to Australia, I received a report from the counter-terrorism coordinator on the attack in Minto yesterday afternoon, and I have this morning received a further report and briefing from the Director-General of ASIO, the Commissioner of the Federal Police, the Justice Minister and Minister assisting me on counter-terrorism, and the counter-terrorism coordinator. It is alleged by the police that yesterday at around 4 o'clock, a 22-year-old man attacked a 59-year-old man in the street in Minto with a knife, inflicting very serious injuries. The victim is in a serious condition, and our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family, and we hope that he makes a fast and complete recovery. The assailant has been charged with terrorism offences and attempted murder. And you will have seen a more detailed briefing on the event by Deputy Commissioner Burns from New South Wales.
That is the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull there addressing the media in the wake of an incident that happened at Minto, Sydney. Now, that incident was kind of rather... I mean, it's a terrible. These sort of things are terrible. But that's not the whole story. The whole story is that ISIS, an ISIS group, or a group that kind of, they're not ISIS, but they're kind of ISIS inspired. I believe, for lack of a better term, that they're trying to urge lone wolves to kind of go after. Landmarks in Australia like Bondi Beach and the MCG and the cricket ground, the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Lost for words today. The call basically said, quote, kill them at the MCG, SCG, the Opera House, and even in their backyards. That's what the report said, urging rogue members of this ISIS-inspired group to kind of unleash, for lack of a better term. And 15 years on for something like... I'm going to say something, and it's probably going to be controversial, so send your hate mail in. But I'm just surprised and probably, like, shocked that, like, terror is still a conversation we're having, you know, in 2016, you know, when you look at such events at, you know, that happened in 2001. What do you think, Thomas? I feel like I'm hogging. I feel like I'm hogging the airwaves.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's pretty sad that people still want to do extreme things like this. It's sad that, you know, individuals and groups, I guess, get into this mindset that that's the only thing they've got to do. It's sad. And all I can do is really feel sorry for these people. And
it
would be nice to understand, I guess, where, like, their point of view, because it's not like a normal thing to do. I guess there's got to be some sort of.
Yeah.
There's gonna be some sort of reasoning behind it, think?
Some sort of like.
So to understand, like, what sort of change they want to see in the world, there are peaceful solutions to everything, I believe.
That is true. Just to piggyback on that, that is very true. It is very, like, a psychological thing. I'm old enough to remember, though. I was on the air at the time of when the Orlando shooting was going down. That was on a Sunday when I was sitting down doing this show. When we, you know, that happened at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we go to air in the US. We go to air at 7 a.m. there. You know, we're 7 till 9 in the US and in the Eastern time zone. So 2 hours after that event happened, I'm old enough to remember that. I'm old enough to even remember the last real kind of significant. That's air quotes for audio listeners, significant attack here in Australia at the Lind Cafe. I'm old enough to remember the San Bernardino attacks around Christmas time last year. So, and it's just doesn't... What... My big question, though, when I saw this, my big question was, and this is probably not us to kind of answer, but it's us to kind of, you know, deconstruct from a news point of view, like, what can people do from here, kind of thing? Because there's got to be something that's to be done, right?
About terrorists?
Yes. Put simply, yes.
Well, you know, you can always implement, you know, whatever safety measures you want, but there's always going to be... I don't know if there's going to be anything that 100% works, because whatever happens, technology changes, society changes. There's going to be gaps somewhere, unless, you know, until, I don't know, further down the track, many, many years ahead, until we get to some sort of either really beautiful society or some sort of really, I guess, dystopian. I mean, it would seem dystopian, but, like, you know, like a controlled sort of environment could possibly prevent that sort of stuff. But it's scary because you wouldn't, in that sort of society, I think you wouldn't have much of a choice in what you'd be able to do.
Yeah.
So at the moment, there's, you know, all we can really do is keep doing what we think is right. And I think that's the only thing that anyone can really do, is just keep doing what you think is right, and try and expand your understanding of the world and other people.
And that's probably you bring up a good point there. Probably something that I haven't really thought about is the knowledge. We don't really know enough, I think, about these sorts of situations. You hear the word, you hear, you know, terrorists, you hear, you know, these incidents, but we don't know enough. I think anyway, that's just me. We don't know enough to kind of go, you know, come up with a solution. You're right. On the flip side of that though, isn't it, I don't know though, there's something, you know, I want to put this out there just in case people are wondering, you know, nothing has happened between, you know, when I put this story, you know, in the run sheet for today and, you know, when, you know, between, you know, 9:16 on a Sunday night, you know, nothing has happened, but the threat of something happening is there, and it's always there.
Yeah, well, if you think about it that way, there's going to be a threat always at any point in time of anything happening, really, you know.
If you think about it
in a threat sort of way, there's threats everywhere, and you can't always protect yourself from all of them.
Yeah, like there's, to kind of bring it back onto like a micro level, there's a threat that one of us might have a heart attack. Heaven forbid that either of us have a heart attack live on air, but that's a threat that could happen, you know what I mean? No, that's kind of welcome. Hang on, if you haven't heard GLS before, I do this stuff all the time. Like, I kind of bring it back to kind of take it off track a little bit. Bump my microphone then. But I bring it off track a little bit to try and unpack it and then bring it back to relate.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, I. Whoa. Sorry. Continue. I had the stream open. Yeah, go me. Go on.
Sorry, I don't remember what I was saying. I was listening to you.
No, to kind of, there are threats always in the world, you know what I mean? Like I said,
yeah.
Heaven forbid, and I you know, wouldn't wish this upon anyone, but it, you know, the threat of either of us having a heart attack live on air is there, but we're not going to do anything about it because we just don't know. But, you know, we can't.
Yeah, there's like the threat of someone breaking into your house and stealing your TV or something. But you know, you can only do so much to prevent that from happening. But if someone really wants to grab your TV in particular, I don't think there's not much you know, as an individual, you can really do about that.
And to piggyback on that, on the theft thing, I actually, in my old house, we were robbed. But the funny thing is, though, they didn't break into our house. They jumped our fence and into our kind of pool sort of area. And they busted into our bar fridge that we had in our kind of back patio sort of thing. And mind you, they had to jump two fences to get to it, so more power to them. And then, instead of stealing like the very, very expensive alcohol that we had out there, they stole a carton of Pepsi Max. The point of this kind of test, the kind of the story is, we don't know the mentality of some of these people. They could,
yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, I think all we can really do is, you know, individually, because we don't know, you know, what it is that they're thinking. So what we have to do is just, because unless they're being pressured to do it by somebody else, in which case the blame is on that other person, I guess, they must think that what they're doing is acceptable in some way. So we just have to continue to, you know, spread around the idea that stealing isn't an okay thing to do.
Yeah. And we'll cover we've got this down for, because I think two big segments on this is kind of, you need that to unpack, because you mentioned the group mentality, and I know we're coming up on a break here, but the group mentality of it is kind of similar to how people tie it back, particularly terrorists, to kind of bring it back down to what we're kind of talking about here. And you'll have the final word, you know, as per always, because you're the guest. But to kind of pull it, you know, pull this back into terrorism, that's why people relate terrorism to religion. And I really want to make that distinction. I'm pretty much the only person, it seems, in the world that want to make that distinction, because it's not the religion to do those acts, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, for example, you get the same sort of thing from extremists of any religion, Christianity especially, in my opinion. I reckon I've seen a fair few versions. I mean, like, what was that one? Was it Jacksonville? Is that the name of it?
I think so. That rings a bell.
Yeah. Where the Christian guy it was a mass suicide thing, and they all believed that that was the correct thing to do. You know, whereas a lot of, you know, the Christian texts, whatever, and people generally accept that it's not cool to kill yourself.
Yeah.
So
it's frowned upon.
In society as a whole, and like in most religions, I'd assume. So.
Particularly Christianity.
You get these individuals from anywhere, from any religion, any ethnicity. There are individuals that just take things out of context, or, you know, believe in things that are generally accepted to not be good.
Yeah.
They believe that they are good. So
yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off then.
No, that's fine. Yeah, you just got to figure out how it is that they're seeing it that way, and how we can shift that, or how, like, what other solutions are there to the problems that they are facing.
That, well said. That's a good point to end up. We'll pick up the religion point, because we can explore that till the cows come home, I think, because there's a lot you could dig in there to the psychology of it. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, we've got a hybrid for you, but we don't think your body is ready for it. We'll put you to the test as we continue here on GLS. It's 9:24. Whatever the time of day, whatever the time of the night, we're here to serve you a big dose of genericness with your host, Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. So good to be with you, with Dale and Thomas here. Special guest Thomas Humphreys from Cairns FM 89.1. He is here. Yes, he's on track. Fast forward. He's here with me. Thank you. We're having a blast. I mean, we got a little bit heavy on that last segment, but yeah, you got to do what you have to do if you're really enjoying this bumper music too much, aren't you, Tom?
This is great. I have to play this on my show.
It's literally.
You have to send me that.
It's no copyright, royalty free. You can have it, my friend.
Excellent.
Okay. Are you sitting down? Just a question to you.
Yeah, I'm sitting down.
You're sitting down. Okay.
You standing up?
No, I'm not standing up. If you are standing up out there, all right. Sit down. Just sit down. No, this is not exercise time with GLS. That is another podcast coming on the third week of Never. No, we're not. I'm not hosting a yoga podcast. Not that I'm getting any requests to do that. So, we have the best hybrid for you. No, it's not a car. It's not a hybrid plug-in car. It is the classic Golden Gay Time, and the Cornetto are finally had a baby, and it's now called the Gaynetto.
That's really cool.
That's literally what it's called.
I thought you were going to ask me to show a Magic the Gathering card that has a hybrid mana symbol, and that would have been funny, but no.
No, because I don't play Magic the Gathering, but I do have a Machomp. So.
A Machomp.
So, because Machomp.
I'm going to chop your Pokemon cards in half.
Please don't. They're worth nothing. Oh, wait, never mind. So, yes, the Gaynetto.
Golden Gaynetto. Is that what they call it?
Gaynetto.
Golden Gaynetto.
No, it's just Gaynetto. Which sounds...
It's the Gaynetto.
Sounds like some sort of weird, like, neighborhood that only gay people are allowed to visit. Like how I...
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Truly delicious. Yep. We've run out of them out at work, so we can't. I can't.
They're here already.
They're here already. To read the story.
Oh, I'm missing out.
To read the story a little bit.
Yeah, I saw a little while ago. Wasn't it this guy campaigned to get Golden Gay Time as like an ice cream tub as well?
Yes, same guy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I hadn't heard about that before, but when I heard about the Gaynetto, I heard about the guy and the story about he petitioned to get them in a tub, and now he's done it again, and now Gay Time plus Cornetto.
Gaynetto. You're not saying that, are you? You want to share a tub?
Sorry for stealing the story from you.
No, please. You're a guest, too. I mean, jump in whenever you feel it's necessary. So, yes, that's literally, it's the best, it sounds like the best thing ever. We've run out. They're available at Independence and Woolworths. As Coles have not got them. Wah, wah, wah,
wah. Down, down.
Down, down. Gaynetto's are out. But I thought because to kind of celebrate in commiseration, and YouTube, you can join in on this too, to kind of celebrate.
Ooh.
We're gonna show you one of my favorite ads I think of all time. It's the Gay Time ad.
It's so hard to have a gay time on your own.
Boing.
It could be that great chalk and biscuit coating.
So hard to have a gay time on your own.
It could be that smooth toffee ice cream in the center.
So hard to have a gay time on your own.
It could be that whole delicious Golden Gay Time taste. Streets Golden Gay Time. More like a party than an ice cream.
Hey, so, Tom, I have a question before we take our break.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. What exactly is that delicious gay taste? And I've stumped the game. Go on. You actually have an answer for me?
Well, it's more like a party than an ice cream.
That is a good answer as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Well, the Canberra Times has put together a very interesting story, kind of talking about gender in politics, and a former prime minister weighed in as well. As we continue, it's 9:32.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. I actually don't know what that move was. I was just doing on camera. But anyway, we'll move on. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday on the Generic Live Show with me and... I have a name. My name's Dale, and joined by Thomas. We're here doing a show. I really don't know. I shouldn't dance. I shouldn't dance during the segments, during the bumpers. Hey, it really is distracting.
No, you shouldn't.
I shouldn't really. Yeah, you can.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't.
I shouldn't do a bit of this during
You're the running. Then...
Well, I'm trying to keep the wheels on the bus because they go round and round. Okay, so we're here. We're having fun. You know, Thomas is here.
Are we?
Yeah, are we? I am. I don't know about you.
Are we having fun?
Are you having fun? That's the main thing.
I am. I just yeah. just.
Yeah, I shouldn't assume things though.
Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should just carry on with the show.
Maybe you would. Maybe you're thinking about that delicious gay time taste. Anyway,
it's more like a party than an ice cream.
You can't have it on your own. Boing. Anyway, we're off the
rails. There it is.
We're running a little bit behind, but we have interesting conversations here already in the first hour of GLS. I want to get our initial reactions to this headline. Okay. And remember, okay. We do try and keep a light PG 13 plus. So if you want me to, hit my sensor button, I will. I'm hovering over my sensor button as we talk. John Howard, former PM of Australia, says 50-50 gender split in politics is unrealistic due to caring responsibilities. Go. What is your initial reaction to that? Nothing. Okay, awesome. Oh,
that's my reaction.
I was about to...
Sorry, did you want me to say something?
Well, you can for the YouTube video. You do realise this is audio as well, so now there's just going to be this whole big long gap.
Look, sorry, I'm just like, if for those of you who aren't watching, it's I'm just doing like a bit of a squint at the camera and being like, put my hand out like I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That's why caring, what was it?
Caring responsibilities. I was like, okay, so...
Implying that people have, that certain people, I guess we're talking about women here.
Yes.
Of course we are. Implying that women have intrinsic caring responsibilities. What if I was a woman and I didn't have... any family. I just need to care for myself, just like every other person in the world. That's like it. I care for myself and I can do whatever the heck.
Exactly. And not even that.
I mean, I'm not a woman, so I can't really...
Yeah, well...
But you get the idea. It's like there's no one has... Or, on the reverse... Everyone has innate caring responsibilities for themselves and their immediate family, really.
So,
or like the people that they live with.
So hang on, Thomas. So Thomas, what you're telling me is no one should be in politics?
That sounds right. That sounds good, yeah.
You really need to go see. You need to watch the video for the facial reaction on that one. It was brilliant. But... That was my initial reaction. My initial reaction was, so in 2016, where we're all about the emotional side of politics as well, there's no way to beat around. I mean, conservatives talk about how we should have smaller government and, you know, less emotion in our politics till the cows come home, but that's besides the point. But I knocked over my microphone. I do apologize. Like, you just...
Good job.
We all have to care for ourselves. Like, what does that even mean?
Caring responsibilities.
Hey, there's audio. You want audio?
Huh?
there's audio of John Howard saying there's audio about this.
Apart from the stuff we just heard. To
expensive. Yes, and there's an ad that I don't want to listen to.
Car insurance.
To Allianz.
That's right. Our comprehensive car insurance prices are among the lowest for drivers everywhere.
Allianz, because great value matters.
Piece of crap. Sorry,
I don't.
I'll be editing that bit out anyway.
Okay, go.
I'll be editing that bit out anyway because I don't like non-advertising people. If you want to advertise, thechefwonder@gmail.com or geekiashow@gmail.com. More than happy to take on new sponsors. Anyway, here is... I probably won't edit that bit out. It's funny, though. Here is John Howard at the National Press Club. You can hear it. It's 1:05, so... Be warned.
Believe in quotas, as you know, and I mean, you can talk about targets and aspirations and goals. I mean, I would like to see a natural process whereby there are more women, but I don't think you will ever sort of have a 50. I'm not sure that you will ever have a 50-50 thing because it's a fact of society that.
Okay, hang on a sec. We're only 23
fact
seconds
of society.
In. I want, and this is pretty much a direct quote, I want to see a natural progression where more women are in politics, or whatever the hell he said, so it's not a natural quote at all. But I don't believe we'll get to a 50-50 split.
Yeah, because, yeah, so he's going to explain why,
Oh,
so, like,
okay.
It's fair enough that you might not believe that there could be a 50-50 split. He was about to say, I think he just said, because it's a fact of society, and I want to know what this fact of society is.
All
so
right,
let's hear
we'll
it.
We'll let this audio run through. I will not interrupt it anymore.
The caring role, whatever people may...
Okay, sorry, just one note. That is a bunch of horse malarkey. Sorry, continue.
They say about it and whatever the causes are, there is still women play a significantly greater part of... filling the caring role in our communities, which inevitably place some limits on their capacity. Now, that's... Yeah, some people may say, what a terrible thing to say. And it's not a terrible thing to say. It just happens to be the truth. And occasionally, you've just got to recognise that and say it. You shouldn't be sort of... The mainstream should not be too timid to say things occasionally.
Except that...
I've got something. So,
go on.
I just want to point out he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. It's a fact of society that women do take on more of a caring role, right? But that doesn't need to be the case. That can be changed. Men need to take on more of a caring role in society. Men need to share that caring role.
Yeah, and we're two men
the
sitting here.
Need to...
Go on. I'll let you talk. You have the floor. Sorry, I will not. I won't interrupt. I'll save my points at the end.
He said, like, it's a fact of society that women take on a more caring role, and he said that is the reason why it would impact them being in politics. And it may, but women can do extraordinary things, I reckon. So there's no reason why you couldn't take on raising a family and being a politician at the same time. Yes, it would be difficult, possibly,
Oh, go on. You sound like you were in the middle of a...
Yeah, I sounded like I was going to say something sexist, so I decided I'd stop there and have a bit of a think about what exactly it was that I was going to say.
But say it in a different way.
And possibly rephrase it.
Gotcha.
It's certainly doable. But, yeah, he's right. That women do typically take on more of a caring role, and I think that's the thing that needs to be changed, such that we can get a 50-50 split in... whatever it is that we want to have a 50-50 split in. For example, to start with, obviously, like I said, the caring roles, there should be a 50-50 split there between a husband and a wife, or two husbands or two wives taking care of children, unless you've got some other arrangement sorted out in which typically the woman is having to take care of the child, which doesn't seem completely fair, in all honesty. Because that takes up a lot of time and could limit the opportunities for the woman. But that's why the men need to take on that role as well.
100% agree. But the thing I was going to say while you were, and this is probably the sexist thing you didn't want to say, so I'll say it. I have nothing to lose being here, because I'll be here for week after week after week until I literally get kicked off the air, which, if I haven't already, I'm terribly surprised. I love my job, I swear. Anyway, like, the point is that mothers can't give up the role they currently have as, and I know there's a lot more to women, but looking at it from a pure form, women are the bearers of children. And I think that that's going to be true for a long time yet. I mean, you hear these odd stories here and there, but they're outliers of, oh, man, got pregnant. Give me a very disdained look. But that is going to be their role. Now, if two husbands decide to adopt, that's another ball game as well, and there's no mother in that situation. Sure, one of the partners is going to adopt more of a motherly duty than the other one, because that's just how the flow of things work. Go on, you really want to jump in here?
Well, not necessarily, Dale. That doesn't necessarily have to happen.
Continue.
Well, you can split the role equally between the two parents.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yes, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, but yeah, well, I'm talking real like younger years when one person, you know, returns to work out of the two, talking same sex here, of course. You know, one might stay with the baby, and I'm talking really early on. Like, you know, one might decide to stay with the baby more than, and then the other one would go off to work. You know, it's a scenario. I mean, it's different for everyone. For parenting is different from everyone's point of view.
Yeah, there does have to be like certain expectations in the, like certain things you've got to, I guess, prepare for when raising a family. You know, for example, work and stuff could get in the way of being able to care for the child, in which case, you know, maybe one parent will have to take on more of a caring role than the other.
Yeah.
But, and like, there's no getting around that, really.
No.
It just depends on your circumstances.
I agree, but
it doesn't always have to be. Sorry, what?
Oh, that's my point. It's different. It's different for everyone, but
yeah,
naturally, it's typically how it pans out, in my experiences. So, in my like kind of hearing these, like, hearing stories and that sort of thing. I'm not a parent myself. Who wants solicited parenting advice from someone who doesn't have children? But but bringing it back to the story a little bit, that's their jobs. Like, the job is to be in politics, and it's up to either if we're talking same-sex marriages, it's up to, if one husband's in, you know, the field of politics, that's up to them to kind of come, you know, kind of talk about, okay, well, who prioritize, like, not prioritize, that's the wrong word for it, but to kind of have that conversation of, you know, how are we going to be around for the formative years, and to kind of take on responsibility in that sort of way. And even if it's the woman's job to be in politics and she really wants to pursue that and if the partner lets her, then that's the man taking on that responsibility, particularly if we're talking in John Howard's world, the great John Howard's world. I'll let you have the final word on this one.
Yeah.
I think John Howard's been out of the news for a while. So I'm not surprised that he's trying to get back into the news with something like this. So as we continue, as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, we're bringing back one of my favorite segments that I like to do on the show. Now that I have a guest, I can put them through the pain. It's 9:51.
It's pain time.
It's pain and Canaan time is what it is.
What kind of bread are we having today, Dale?
What?
Pain is French for bread.
This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here. Thomas Humphreys from Kent FM 89.1. Flash forward over there. Fast forward. Wow. Or flash forward. Either way, flash forward could mean something totally different, couldn't it? Meh. Anyway. Thanks.
I thought it was a PG showdown.
I never said that. Are you insinuating something? Anyway, I'm getting a very disturbed look. And just Ian. Oh, right. Back with the show. Okay, so don't talk about Wednesday night. Alright, got it. So, moving on to one of my favorite segments of the show. It is time for a review of a review. This is where we take a review of something that is quote-unquote popular in the mainstream. Typically, we've done stage shows in this format before, so it could literally be anything. Today, I'm putting Thomas through the pain. We're putting Thomas through the bread.
Through the pain. I'm a doomed traveler over here.
That is the Magic the Gathering reference to those people who don't get that. Captain America in the background is very disappointed. But anyway, he's always disappointed, the old Cap. So I'm putting you through the pain. You're going to be reviewing a review of the new movie called Bad Mums. It's called Party... The subtitle is Party Like a Mother... It's Bad Mums.
Hold on a sec. So is this under the 84 user reviews?
That's the one.
So I have to click that link and then we'll get to the...
We'll get to the reviews of a review.
Sorry, what?
Shortly. Let's start with that.
Where is it?
Did you not get the link? I sent you the link. In the chat. That one. Right there. That one right there. Live. Actually, I put this in last minute, so I don't blame you for being a bit complex. Or confused, rather. All right, so let's... Have you got it up yet? Why is it taking you so long?
Huh?
Have you got it up in front of you yet?
Sorry, which review is it? There's like a whole bunch of reviews.
Let's start with the first one. I said that.
Okay,
so
am I reviewing like a bunch of these reviews or just like the first one?
We'll do a couple here that time permits. So read it out and then like do kind of live commentary if you feel it necessary and then give a rating of what you
okay,
think.
Okay, so I read out the entire review and then I rate the review.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Sorry. All right, this one is called "Was This Supposed to Be a Comedy?" by someone from California. I'm not going to bother with the email addresses.
Good, well done.
All right, so yeah, it's a review in Rain for Bad Mums. So I don't know what Bad Mums is at all. I haven't actually. So was this supposed to be a comedy? I honestly don't know what to say about this horrendous, terribly unfunny movie, except I wish I could get my money and time back for the waste that was this movie. Here is a suggestion. Watch the movie before you release it. And if it is supposed to be a comedy, make sure the movie makes you laugh. I know for a fact that none of you rich movie producers and stars watched this crappy film. And if you did and told Mila Kunis that she was funny, I have to say, shame on you for lying to her. And Mila, if you watch this movie and still let them release it, you are a moron. The funniest part is when someone says a funny word about their body parts and it just wasn't that amusing. I guess the other two people in the room didn't think it was very funny either, because I never heard one person laugh for more than a moment. I think I laughed more while watching Hannibal. Do not go to see this pile of crap. It was awful. Rated 1 star out of 10.
Yes.
So,
what do you think of that review?
Let me see. Well, now I know that Mila Kunis is in the film, so you know it can't be that bad.
No, I think it's.
We're rating this review. So this guy just, it's horrible, and the only. And basically, he just criticizes the producers and the actors.
He does name drop though, which I don't really like.
He just calls them morons and says that it's and says that it's not funny. It really doesn't do much. There's no critical analysis to it. It's not a very. It's a very. View that doesn't seem to have a lot of substance to it.
No.
You know, all he does is says it's awful and not funny. So, why wasn't it funny? What's the... He does say the funniest part is when someone says a funny word about their body parts, it just wasn't that amusing. Apparently that was the funniest thing to him and it just wasn't that good. So I guess that's the only critical analysis that he's done of the movie. So I'd probably rate this review, you know, 1 or 2 stars out of 10. If I don't know if we're going for 10 or a 5-point system here, but it's like,
wow.
Tell me much about the film except it's supposed to be funny, and Mila Kunis is in it. So that's giving me some mixed.
That's about it too, isn't it? It's like
some mixed feelings about the film, and it tells me nothing about what it was exactly that was bad. So next one.
We're on a break here, unfortunately.
All right,
we can do another one next hour if you like. You want to do another one?
Yeah, all right.
Next hour as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. See, you didn't know what Bad Mums was going into it, and you still don't know. So there you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, more talk about the Prime Minister declaring that rogue groups are threatening landmarks of Australia. As we continue, it's 10 o'clock.